like if you turn to Ruth. And has anybody ever read Ruth? You've read Ruth all the way through? And have you enjoyed Ruth? And Ruth is a very short book, but it has a very powerful message in Ruth. And tonight I want to begin the thought this evening concerning Ruth and just kind of give you some things that the Lord's put on my heart. So if you would, in honor of God's Word, let's stand and we'll read verses 1 through 5 in chapter 1. And I would really like to preach through Ruth and sort of just bring some highlights out and maybe go to Book of Esther and do that. And just sort of get some things out of the Old Testament. Let God just help us and we'll gain some knowledge and some nuggets of God's Word. But Ruth, chapter 1 and in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion and Ephrath of the Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. Father, I come to the name of Jesus here this evening. We do really thank you, Father, for the day. Lord, we want to say thank you, Lord, as that scripture in Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 already has made its way into our church tonight. And God, giving thanks for everything. We're asking God tonight that you'd help us to be more grateful for the things that we do have. And Lord, even grateful for the things that we don't have. We're asking tonight, God, you give us the Word of God that we may understand it clearly. God, we may apply it to our hearts. God, we may live it out in our lives. We thank you for those that are here. We pray for those that are missing, like Sister Trish tonight, Lord, who's had a test tonight. She has to be off of her feet. We pray that you'd encourage her, heal her body. God, give her strength. We thank you, Father, for her and her faithfulness all these years. We pray for Brother Raymond as he's staying home with her tonight. God, should help them. Father, we ask you now tonight, others like Brother Jones, who God seems to be sick more often. And Father, I ask you to help him, dear God, a man of God for many, many years. A God who's faithfully served you, Father, in the years that gone by. We pray, Father, for his daughter, Charlene, God, that you'll work in her heart. God, that you'll make all things clear there. And Father, we ask you now, Lord, lead and guide our service. Thank you for those who have come. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. The name Elimelech, and tonight I want to preach on him tonight and sort of bring forth an idea or a thought that is the truth of God's Word. But Elimelech, it means that my God is king. And so when you study his name, the names mean something in the Hebrew people. And many of us tonight, some of us might have got names from our parents that meant something, that had a message to tell. But most people don't. Most people get their names just out of the cuff or out of a book or for somebody else that may have a name and you just liked it. And so they just throw that name on you, not really meaning much of anything. They just said, like when Larry was born, Larry. And it don't mean much. It don't mean anything. But Elimelech, you know, it does mean something. And it meant, my God is king, which would represent Elimelech's relationship with God. So we're going to talk about tonight a man that was of the Jewish, of course, an Israelite, but a man that knew God, a man that had a relationship with God, for his name meant, my God is king. And so we find tonight a man in the situation that he found himself in verse 1, in Bethlehem, Judah, that he went to Moab because there was a famine in the land. Now, you would think for just a moment that that might be a pretty good idea. That might be a thing to do. I mean, you know, you're in a town, you're in a city, and that city and town's having a famine. And that famine is bringing forth where you're hungry. And ultimately, if you don't eat, you're going to die. And so he takes his family to Moab and the mindset of bringing to a place where there's no famine and where there's a plenty of food so they'll live. And so he made that decision to go to Moab. And there in Moab, things just didn't turn out as quite as he might have thought it should have, or it should have turned out. And so we find in the story a man, and I want to notice the number one tonight in the way of points is the ways of man. I notice Amalek had his way. And Amalek having his way tonight meant that he was a man that was ruled with his own eyes. Now the Bible says clearly that in verse 1, that now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. So we're talking about a time when judges were ruling. Now I want you to look for just a few moments tonight as we kind of scroll through the scripture concerning the days of the judges or the judges ruled. There in the last verse of the last chapter of Judges, it should be right next to Ruth there, you'll find that it reads like this. In those days, the same days when the judges ruled, that in Israel, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so, Amalek, he was just part of that same crowd. He was just part of that same group. He was involved in the judges ruled. He was involved in the fact that there was a time in those days where he was in Israel, in Jerusalem. The Bible says that every man, that meant Amalek too, he's part of the manhood there. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So we see that Amalek was a man that made a decision, and that decision was ruled with his own eyes. Okay? Because he looked upon Judah, to Bethlehem, Judah. He saw a famine. He looked over to Moab, and he saw no famine. And so he said in his own mind, I guess I'm going to make a decision here. I'm going to take my wife and my two sons, and we're going to run over down to Moab. Now, Moab was about 30 miles from Bethlehem, Judah. Matter of fact, you can look from Bethlehem, Judah to Moab and see it, or Moab to Bethlehem, Judah, and it wasn't that, I mean, it was that sort of close. It wasn't like it was millions and millions of miles away, so we're looking at something not very far, but he decided that he was going to sojourn there. He was going to go there, not really going to probably stay there forever, but he was just going to go there for just a little bit to because he saw the famine in the land. And then he thought it would be better. He thought it would be more prosperous. It would be more advantage to his family because the famine that he would go to, take them to Moab, and they can eat there so they can live. And so, but the Bible says during those days, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so we see something already wrong with that decision. We find also in Judges in Psalms chapter 36. Let's turn there quickly. Psalms 36 tonight. In Psalms chapter 36, it says in verse 2, we find, it says, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Meaning that he's talking about a man of the Bible says in verse 1, the transgression of the wicked. And they'll talk about a wicked man that he flattereth himself in his own eyes. He looks at himself and he gets proud and he gets encouraged with himself. And then with this flattering that goes on, this boasting that goes on, he'll find the Bible teaches that the iniquity that will come from that will be caused or created that he'll be found to be hateful, that he'll be found that he'll be in judgment. And so we find tonight that here the man that becomes flattering in his own self can find himself in sin that will bring forth judgment. So we see that. We see also in Proverbs chapter 3, a term there in verse 7. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. We go to this book often in the way of wisdom tonight, that God will give us a understanding about our own eyes. Our own eyes tonight is what we're talking about. He ruled by His own eyes. There's a danger with that tonight, dear church. When everything you do and everything you make choices on and everything you decide on is with your own eyes, something's bad wrong. Many of us tonight got ourselves in hot water when we got married. Some of us got in hot water when we looked at somebody we shouldn't have looked at. Some of us got hot water because we looked upon some money or we looked upon something we stole it. Amen? Hey, friend, listen, you got to be careful tonight with what you look on. It might look out there that it looks one way, but then it's really not that away because you're looking with your own eyes. Now look at the danger here in chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." How can you not be wise in your own eyes? That almost doesn't even make sense, does it? Wise in your own eyes. Tonight, then he goes on and says, "Fear the Lord and depart from evil." In other words, the Bible's teaching tonight that it's a possibility that in your own eyes, that you can flatter yourself by doing that, and that you can see something, and that you might want something because you see, or you see something and you want to do something, that tonight the Bible says it's rather to be wise and fear God. Not your own eyes, not what you see, but the fearing of God and depart from evil, see? Tonight you can look upon something with your own eyes and you can decide with that and you're going to find yourself in evil. But tonight you'd rather be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. No matter what you're looking at, no matter what you're seeing tonight, fear the Lord or you're going to find yourself in evil. The only way you're going to depart from evil is to fear the Lord. You and I ain't have enough strength tonight. We ain't got enough boldness tonight. We ain't got enough power tonight to look at something and say no. Tonight, we do have power to fear God, though. And by doing that, we'll depart from evil. And so we find the Proverbs is once again has given us a truth that you and I can live upon. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. Just keep on thinking about this eyes and about ruling with their own eyes. That's what Amalek done. And so Proverbs chapter 12 verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearketh unto counsel is wise." Listen, folks, tonight, don't let your eyes deceive you. Don't think that you've got the answers because of what you see. A lot of people say, listen, if I can see God, I'll believe on Him. That's not necessarily true, amen? Some people say, I tell you what, listen, you love me, then show me. But sometimes that show me stuff is not real neither. And so we got to be careful tonight to think that in our own eyes tonight, according to the Scripture here in verse 15, the way of a fool, a way of a man that don't know God, a way of a man that's away from the Lord is right in his own eyes. So if you think tonight because you're right in your own eyes and you're ruling your life by what you see, tonight you're a fool. So tonight we find the Scripture in chapter 16 and verse 2 gives us another thought concerning this truth. He says, all the ways, that means every way. There ain't a way that's not available right here. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirits tonight. What He's saying is you and I that are human beings tonight, in our own eyes, we feel like we're clean, we're right. In our own eyes, every time you get in conversation, every time you get in counseling, every time you get into a debate, every time you get into a fight, I'm going to tell you tonight, each one will stand on what they see and what they feel like they're clean of. They don't, you know, everybody thinks they're right all the time. Everybody thinks they're clean. Everybody thinks it's everybody else's fault. Everybody else comes to the mind, listen, I didn't do nothing. I mean, it wasn't me. I tell you, if you clean up them and you get them right, then I get right. But it ain't me right now, it's them. The Bible says that's not the fool tonight. That's not what the Bible teaches. We got to be careful tonight. The Bible in chapter 16, verse 2 is clear. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But then here lastly, in chapter 21 of Proverbs, in verse 2, we read again, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Oh, boy, I tell you, that's a hard scripture there. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And we find, according to this scripture tonight, that there are those that are ruling with their own eyes. And can I tell you, Amalek, he was one of those. He ruled with his own eyes. Can I say, number two, not only did he ruling with his own eyes, but he was running with his own heart. Tonight, I'm talking about the ways of men. The ways of men tonight. This is not the ways of God. This is the ways of men. This is the ways of you and I tonight. When I say men, I'm talking about man and woman. I'm talking about us tonight. I'm talking about us as a Christian. I'm talking about us tonight that know God, that love God. We've got to be careful tonight not to come to the place where we are ruling our lives with our own eyes. And we got to be careful tonight that we're not ruling our lives with our own heart tonight. Many people say, well, you know, I just follow my heart. Don't do that. Don't follow your heart. Your heart is desperately wicked, amen? I tell you tonight, the Bible says a fool trusteth in his own heart. The Bible teaches me not to trust in your heart. Oh, so we find that when we follow our own heart tonight, we find that, number one, troubles come. I want you to notice this in chapter 1, that whenever Amalek, the Bible says that he, it said when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. And what? I tell you, there was a trouble in the land. And I don't know about you tonight, but have you had trouble in your land? I mean, tonight, can you say that maybe there might be a little famine going on in your life? Maybe tonight, maybe it may not be a famine. It may be something of the nature of pouring out of troubles or difficulties or situations. But can I just say tonight, turn to one more scripture that I want, Leviticus chapter 26. And this is always the truth with famines. There were 13 famines here that was spoken of in the Bible in the Old Testament. In chapter 26 of Leviticus, and God kind of gives an answer of why there was a famine in this land. He says in chapter 26 and in verse 19, he says, I will break the pride of your power. So we find already the reason why there was a famine is because of the pride of people. Now, can I say many a times you and I have troubles because of the pride of people. He says there, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. You've been there before? Man, it seems like when you pray, I've heard some of y'all say this before. When I pray, it don't seem like it gets above the ceiling. I tell you, it seems like heaven is brass. It seems like, boy, it's just tough right here. I tell you, it's been a rough week. It's a rough time. I just can't get anything. I can't go nowhere. It just seems like being a Christian, man, is the hardest thing in all the world. That's what he's talking about. He says, and your strength shall be spent in vain, and your land shall not yield her increase, and neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will send wild beasts among you and shall rob you of your children and shall destroy your cattle and make you a few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. If you will not be reformed by me by these things, but I will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and I will punish you yet 7 times. For your sins. Boy, you read that chapter out, you'll find that God means business for His people to walk after Him and to keep His commandments and to live for God. Amen? Tonight, it's not an option to live for God. Tonight, it's not an option tonight to do as you please and as you want to. Friend, it is a command of the Lord. And God said, you walk contrary to me, I walk contrary to you. And you don't want God to walk contrary to you, friend. That's what happened here in Bethlehem, Judah. Those people did what was right in their own eyes, and God said, I've got enough of it. He sends a famine. Now, in the midst of all this trouble, the reason why there's trouble is because there's sin. Amen? And probably many times in our lives, we find ourselves troubled because of sin. Amen? And not only sin, but because there's bad choices. bad choices. When you're in troubles and troubles come, it's reason because there's bad choices. But not only bad choices, but wrong decisions. How many times have you been in trouble tonight? How many times have you found yourself in a difficult situation? How many times have you found yourself in a place when you can't get a hold of God, it don't seem? A place when you seem like you've got no rest in your soul? It seems like, man, everything around you is falling down and falling to pieces? You're saying, man, what else is going to happen? And you make a decision, you make a choice, and it's bad and it's wrong. That's where Amalek's at. Because of sin. Because he did what was right in his own eyes. He ruled by his own eyes, but then he began to rule by his own heart. So he finds himself in a famine. The reason why he finds himself in a famine is because of sin. And he decides to make a decision. You know, tonight, if you find yourself in these troubles, you find yourself in these difficulties, it's not time to make a decision, not time to make a choice. It's time to fall on your face before God. It's time to say, God, I repent. It's time to say, God, I'm wrong and you're right. It's time to say, oh God, I'm sorry. I have offended a holy God. And I'm asking you, God, to cleanse me and forgive me of my sins and restore my right spirit with you. God, give me the right attitude that I need to serve you and to honor you and those you put with me and for me tonight, God, that you'll bless us. Amen. But oh, Amalek couldn't do that because he was ruling by his own heart and by his own eyes. Troubles come. What happens when troubles come? Well, tragedy comes. I want you to look there in verse 1. The Bible says, the tragedy was that, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. That's the tragedy. Because see, tonight, Bethlehem, Judah tonight means the house of bread is Bethlehem. And the word Judah means praise. So I'm saying tonight that Amalek was in the house of bread. Now tonight, what was on the land? A famine. What does a famine mean? A famine means there's no bread. So if you're in the city of the house of bread and there's no bread, why would you leave the city who's the house of bread to go someplace and find your own bread when God said, here, provide the bread where you're at? Now, if you're in Bethlehem, Judah, which Judah means praise, it means glory, it means a joy tonight, why would you go on down to Moab and leave the joy and the praise of where God said you're to be? Oh, I know the famine's in the land. I know that troubles have come. I know that difficulties are there. But why do you want to run? Why do you want to make a decision and a choice that to go somewhere else than where God has you? Oh, tonight we need to understand and learn as a Christian tonight. Just because there's troubles, and just because there's difficulties, and just because there's problems in life, in home, in church, at work, it doesn't give you the right to leave and to move and to go. Listen, friend, if you're right where God wants you to be tonight, and there's a famine, and there's a trouble, and there's a difficulty, and can I just say this to you tonight? There are times in lives where you're right in the center of God's will, and you're right where God wants you to be, and you're right where God have you to be, and where God brought you there, and there are trials in your life, there's tests in your life, there's things that go on in your life, and friend, many people, what they do is they pack up their toys, and they move on to the next place, and they leave God right where He's at, and you leave to go to the worst place, you go to another place, and God said, you left me, I'm back down here in the house of bread, don't you think that I'm going to feed you? Don't you think I'm going to trust? Don't you think that you can trust me? Don't you think that you can put your faith in me? I don't care what kind of famine's going on. You're in the place of bread. I will provide for you. I will protect you. I will give to you. It might look grim. You might only have a little bit of water and a little bit of bread. Oh, but you won't go hungry with me. Oh, you might not think that you're going to make it through the night. Oh, but I give you joy in the morning. Amen. Listen, I'll be there with you. I never forsake you nor leave you. I don't sleep nor slumber. I'm there for you. I'm there with you. Amen. Don't move on and don't leave out. Just stay. We've got to learn that, church. We gotta learn that. We get all bent out of shape, we leave our job. We get all crossways at church, we can go to another church. We get all upset in a marriage and we just want to cut it off and move on. Friend, we can't do that. That's not what God's teaching tonight. That's what Amalek did. Amalek left where God said, I gave you a promise. See, he left the place of promise, the house of bread. He left the place of provision, the house of bread. He left the place of praise, the house of Judah. And so we find tonight that God says that wherever I am with you, it doesn't matter the circumstances you're in, there's praise there. Is that what somebody said tonight? Didn't somebody say about trusting Him? No matter, didn't you say that, Brother Keith? No matter where He's at, what you're doing? I mean, that wasn't by accident. Brother Keith didn't know anything about what I'm preaching tonight. And he come up and said that. And then y'all saying what y'all saying, go right along with what I'm saying here tonight. All I'm saying tonight is this, is the fact is that if you want praise in your life, stay where you are in the trouble you're in. God can see praise and get glory out of that. You don't know how many times that somebody's told me, hey, Brother Larry, if I was you, I would just move on, you know. Why do they tell me that? Because they're looking through their eyes. And they're running with their heart. That's what Amalek did. But tonight I'm telling you, don't leave the place of promise. God promises where you're at right now. God promises you that He'll handle and take care of you. Don't leave the place of provision. Now, where you're at right now in your life and in your marriage and your home and your job and in your church, God will provide. Amen. Keep on trusting Him. Keep on looking to Him. God will bring praise. I'm telling you tonight, in any situation we find ourselves in, God will bring glory. It might not look so well. It might not look so good right now. You say, Brother, I've been praying for my spouse for 20 years. Pray for 20 more. You say, Brother, I've been praying for my children for 30 years. Keep on praying. Brother Larry, man, you don't know my finances. They're disasters. They're terrible. But keep on keeping on. Amen. Brother Larry, you don't know what I have to face, but God does. Don't leave. Amen. And so we find that when trouble comes, we find tragedy comes. And the tragedy was that Amalek left the place of provision, the place of promise, and the place of peace to Moab. Now, what does Moab represent tonight? Moab is an enemy of God. Moab is a cursed place. Moab tonight is a place of cursing. You don't want to go to Moab. The Bible's already determined to be destroyed in the way of prophecy. Moab tonight is a place of filth. Matter of fact, listen to this. In Psalms 108, verse 9, God said this about Moab. He said, Moab is my wash pot. My wash pot. Moab is my wash pot. What's a wash pot? It's like a bathtub. In those days, what you would do when you go to somebody's house, they would clean your feet. You know, we don't have these fancy shoes. We have fancy shoes now, but back then they didn't have fancy shoes. They were open. They were mostly like sandals. And so your feet was always dirty with all the walking they'd done. They didn't have much concrete those days and asphalt and things of that nature. And so when you go into somebody's house, you go into some place, the first thing you do is put your feet in a wash pot. Now, what they would rather do is they would rather have running water so that water would come off your feet and it would run down into a basin and would go out. All right? But there were sometimes that they had a wash pot, a pot where they would put in some water, and if some feet would go in there, and they would wash the feet off, and they would come back and wash the feet off, and come back and feet and wash it. And that pot would hold that dirty water. It would hold that water that's contaminated. It really hold that water that was really useless now. It was really like a cursed water because you can't. There's nothing you could do. Well, that's what God calls Moab, a place of filth, a place of dirt. A place of uselessness, a place of cursing. Now, why would Amalek move from the house of bread, the place of praise, to Moab, to the place of cursing, the place of filth, and the place of uselessness? Why do you do that? Why do you leave where God has you and what God's put you in, and where God has given you the privilege and honor to have what you have and be what you are and stay where you are? And why would you pick up and why would you leave? You can't get no better than where God has you tonight. You can't improve on the will of God. You can't improve tonight on the house of bread when you're hungry. You can't improve tonight when you're down on the house of praise. And many people move from a worse time to a disastrous time. And you know what a foolish decision is? Is when you make a decision and you're worse off than when you were. That's a dumb, stupid decision. God's not in that. Amen? Anytime God's in a decision and a choice you made, it's always a choice that brings glory unto Him. It's always a choice that brings a peace in your heart. It's always a place, it's always a decision that runs smoothly and gently and kindly. There's no rough edges anywhere. It just smoothly goes. The door opens, the door shuts. But tonight, Amalek, he didn't do it that way. He decided because he was ruling with his own eyes, he was running with his own heart. He looked at, and the Bible says, this certain man. I'm talking about the man now. The certain man, the leader of his home, the man that God put responsible of his home. The Bible says in verse 1, a certain man, he went to Moab. You see that? Naomi didn't go. His two sons didn't go. They followed. Oh yeah, they were with him. But it wasn't their decision. It was his decision. You see, trouble comes and then tragedy comes and now he finds himself in Moab. And then after the trouble comes and tragedy comes, then tears come. Look at the tears. What brought the tears? Well, number one, the disobedience of Amalek. The disobedience of Amalek. The Bible says, you don't have to turn there, I will, but in Joshua chapter 23, listen to what Joshua tells the children of Israel. And Amalek is part of this. He says in verse 7, he says, that you come not among these nations. These nations means Moab and a bunch of others. He says, you don't come among these nations. These that remain among you, neither make mention of them the name of their gods, nor to cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done this day. So Joshua said in his dying days, do not call even on the name of their gods. Do not even go into the land of those people. Do not. Then he says in verses 11, he said, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Else, verse 12, he says, if you do anywise go back to those nations, to Moab or whomever, he says, cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that your Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. God says, if you just dare go back, you're going to have some troubles. What did Amalek do? He disobeyed God. Let me tell you what happens, dear daddy, dear papa, dear hubby, little sweetheart. Whenever you decide to disobey God, you bring tears to your home. Amalek was a man who says his own name meant that God was king, meant that God was ruler, and God was sustainer of his life. Amalek knew better. Amalek knew better to leave Bethlehem, Judah, and go to Moab. He knew better. Can I say to you that are Christians tonight, that are daddies and that are husbands, you know better too. Sometimes you get yourself in a pinch. Sometimes you get yourself in a situation. You start looking through your own eyes. Start ruling that away. Then all of a sudden you start running with your own heart. The next thing you find yourself disobedient with God. This disobedience, friend, it brought not only the disobedience of Amalek, but it brought forth a death of Imelech. Look at verse 3. The Bible says, and Imelech, Naomi's husband, died. Now this is how God handles His own. As a Christian tonight, you can sin. And you probably will sin. Now God will say, I would have you not to sin, because that's not the desire of God. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Tonight, the Bible says that if we sin, we can confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. So we know that. But the Bible says and teaches tonight that when a child of God sins, the Lord, the Father, begins to chastise and begins to scourge that one. We learn that in Hebrews chapter 12. We learn that in Proverbs chapter 3. Then we learn it right here with Imelech. God begins the work on the people of Himself where He doesn't allow you to sin habitually. He doesn't allow you to sin willfully. God deals with that. And then there comes a period in life that when you continue to disobey God, or when you draw the line, when God draws the line, He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And God draws the line and says, you can't go no further. And you keep on going that direction, God will just kill you. Imelech died. He wasn't there very long, but he died. You want to die? Die early. Have a short life. Just disobey God. That's for all of us tonight. The wages of sin is death, by the way. You'll not get away with sin. I got a story here real quickly tonight. There's a guy at our work. He just started 2 weeks ago. He owned his own workout center for 14 years. Here in April the 10th is when all the dues are due. So all these people paid their dues on the 10th, and on the 11th, he shut it down. They come to work out. It says, no longer open. We're done. We're through. It's over. Well, there's some people who want their money back, right? That's not right. Well, he started working at our place, and we didn't know none of this. So he started working at our place. Well, it just so happened when he came in on a Tuesday, he told Bob and everybody about this workout center, and it was a 14-year deal, and he had to shut it down for this reason, that reason, and it was okay. Well, Wednesday, we got a mechanic in the back, and he comes up to the front, and he's a friend of my nephew, and he says, I'm mad, man. He said, what are you mad about? He said, my wife went to work out, and on the door it says, shut down. No, nobody can come. It's over. It's done, and all that. We paid on the 10th, and it was like the 13th, and I want my money back. Nolan said, isn't this strange? He said, well, Ken, can I just tell you that there's a guy who just started, he's in outside sales, and he just shut down a gym. What? What's his name? His name's Bobby. All right, so he went home. He asked his wife, who you been trying to email? Who you been trying to call? Who you been trying to contact? She says, Bobby. Well, where is it at? It's in Spring. That's where Bobby said his was in Spring. Hers was in Spring. Now, what's the odds of somebody quitting or joining up with Beasley Tire and coming and doing what he did, if it's true, and they say that it is, and you got somebody working there that has a wife that went there? Your sin shall find you out. Whatever man soweth, he shall also reap. Can I tell you, Daddy? Can I tell you, anyone? When you start disobeying God and you start doing it regularly, you're going to find death. I've seen people through my years of 26 years of being a Christian, I've seen folks die early. I've seen folks die of freak accidents. I've seen folks die just crazy ways, just odd ways. And the fact that every time that they did, they were in a place of disobedience. I'm not saying tonight you're going to live forever because you do right. But I am saying this, if you want to do wrong, the wages of that is death. Imelech. Imelech was one that found himself. Now what happened in the death of Imelech? Well, three things took place. Number one, the followers that followed Imelech to Moab was left in a strange land. You know what happens whenever you continue to want to disobey God? Those that followed you are now living without you in a strange land. You see, because you took care of everything, you dealt with everything, you made decisions, you made lines, you made boundaries, you gave leadership, you gave what they needed and what they wanted, and they decided to follow you. They decided to do what you asked them to do. They decided to say, okay, yes to you. And now you go on and disobey God, and now you're dead, and they find themselves left in a strange land. I tell you something else they're left in. They're left, according to the Scripture, as they were. Your family is left in a sinful, with a sinful people. I mean, Amalek, he took them to Moab. Moab is an ungodly nation. Moab don't have the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Moab is a cursed place. And now he's gone and left his family in a sinful, sinful people. So I'm just telling you, Father, just telling you, Daddy, if you're going to be a leader in your home, make sure you obey God so you don't leave your family in a sinful land. How fair is that? Thirdly, I notice what happened when he died. Not only did the followers left in a strange land, the family left in a sinful people, but the faith left to a small hope. Because all that talk and all that leadership you had about God, then you go and get disobedient toward God. And God, isn't it God who gives life and God who takes life? Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's Him that gives, it's Him that takes away tonight. And God took away. But when He took away, He left His little group there with the small hope. Can I say to you, on the third way, not only was it disobedient, I'm talking about the tears that come. That's what brings tears. Disobedience of Amalek. The death of Amalek. Number three, the defilement of Amalek. I want you to notice in verse 4, the Bible says, and they took them wives of the woman of Moab. That's defilement. You see, because of the choice of Naomi, and Naomi could have went back when her husband died. She could have went back. Now, why didn't she go back? Well, don't really say why. But I would think tonight that if she was left in verse 3 of her two sons, and then verse 4, it says, and they took them wives of the woman of Moab, maybe her sons were saying, Mom, I mean, these Moabite women are just wonderful. You want to go back to Bethlehem? I'm in love with this woman. Come on, Mom, let's stay here just a little longer. Mom, listen, man, I'm really enjoying it out here, man. It's really fun. I've got this one and this one here. No, here. Hey, old Bubba over here, he's going to get married. I'm going to get married. We're going to get married, these Moabite women. Don't, let's not go. Mom, let's stay here. Mom, stay with us. Mom, maybe, I don't know. I'm just guessing. You know how the influence of children are on mamas. It's a funny thing to me. The influence of a husband is not near what the influence of a child is. Now, how does that work? Here's a grown man, an adult man, who has no doubt some time behind him and some history behind him and no doubt does what he needs to do, and yet he has very little influence over his wife, but a little child don't know nothing. Ain't got sense come out of the rain. I mean, by dumb as a rock. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings on your children, but I'm just saying, but they got more. They tug at your heart and they move you in a way, and they'll follow your children all around. Stop! Don't do that. Stop! Don't do that. You quit now. I'm gonna tell you one more time. If you don't stop, I'm telling you, I'm getting tired. Boy, I tell you, when a husband gets home, you sit on there and say, "Woo! I'm tired. Why are you tired? I've been chasing around old Bubba all day. I told him 1,002 times, you better stop it. When your daddy gets home, you're gonna get a whipping." I don't know if I described anybody tonight, but I'm just saying that's how it usually works. The influence of the child, of the children, on Mama Naomi. So we find a defilement. Naomi just stayed there. I want to know, secondly, the choice of, not only Naomi, but the choice of the sons. have much time tonight, but in Ezra chapter 9, you can mark this down and look at it later, at Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, and then Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 23, verse 27, it talks about not marrying outside of an Israelite. Now, us Christians tonight, we've got the same verse in the Scripture, that we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So tonight, if you plan on marrying somebody and you're going to marry somebody right, they got to be saved. But not only saved, and listen to me now, not even saved, but serving. If you're, let me just say this. I'm not going to be able to finish tonight. But if you're going to get married, and all you want to do is find somebody that says, I love Jesus, and they want to come to church with you. And they never went to church before. They just said when they were 3 days old, they got saved. But yet, your brother Larry said, I got to marry a Christian, so I'm going to find somebody that says that they know Jesus and they love Jesus and they really do. Let me tell you what you need to find. You need to find somebody that not only just loves Jesus, but find somebody that's serving Jesus. They're in the midst of serving. In other words, whenever you meet them and you go to Glory Baptist Church and they go over here to Emmanuel Baptist Church and you say, hey, won't you come over to my services? Oh, no, darling. I got my own church I go to over here. And I teach a Sunday school and I do this and I do that. And man, my church, no. And if you're going to come anywhere, you're going to come over here with me. That's the guy you need to look at. Amen. I'll persuade them to come over here. Amen? Does that make sense tonight? Somehow, some way, we just get all excited. These real popular places like meat.com or what is one? I can't even think of one right now. I'm brain dead. What is it? Christian. Oh, yeah, that's a good Christian. Christian mingle. Here we Christian mingling, amen? And you look up on air and your questions you ask because Brother Larry said, boy, you cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You ask the question, do you know Jesus? Muslims know Jesus. Catholics know Jesus. Don't ask that question. The question is this, is what church do you attend and what are you doing in the church? They were pretty good questions there. What's your pastor's name so I can call him and see if he knows you? That's a very good question. You know, the people that I meet all the time who love Jesus and go to church all the time but don't know their pastor's name? They can't even tell me the address of the church. But man, you swear up and down, they're some kind of theologian. I mean, they're a scholar of the Bible. But they can't remember even the pastor's name. Let me just tell you this. Not only being unequally yoked with unbelievers by asking them to be a Christian, but please, ask them, what are they doing for God? What are your service to the Lord? Amen? All right, well, let's stand to our feet tonight. And some people say it's a rabbit, but it wasn't because it was part of this choice. And maybe we'll finish up here some other day. I think Ruth can be a help to us, don't you think? I think Ruth helped us already tonight. It's helped me. Well, if you need to come pray tonight, won't you just come? You can slip out now. Or you can fall down by your pew where you're at. Just think about the things tonight, what was said about being ruled with our own eyes or running with our own hearts. And I know I mentioned some things directly to fathers tonight, but mothers, you need to be aware of those things too. Tonight as we just gather, it looks like most people come to the altar tonight, just gather around the old-fashioned altar.